You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report, with Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araujo, former Foreign Minister of the State of Brazil. And we turn to a critical election resulting in a very young president for Latin America. His name is Gabriel Boric. He is 35 years old. He's a very well-educated classical Marxist. At the same time, we have an election just passed in Colombia. President Duque was not participating. The presidential election is later in the spring. However, the election just passed. President Duque is participating in this news. Colombia's President Iván Duque called an emergency meeting over the contested results of the congressional elections. It was a primary, but it included congressional elections. So I welcome Joseph and Ernesto to comment on this, because while one election in Chile is concluded with surprising and fresh new face, the other election is not yet confirmed. Joseph, this is a complete surprise to me. You're traveling. You're in Colombia. Is it a surprise to the voters in Colombia that they're going to recount? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I don't know if it's a surprise. It's unfortunately becoming a common thing in Latin America, and I'd say in the Americas even, including the United States, where there's irregularities in voting processes, there's human errors, there's other types of errors, there's all kinds of accusations and allegations of fraud. And that this Colombia legislative election wasn't able to avoid that. So we went through the election last Sunday. And, you know, most people observed the results that came out from the quick count. Shortly after that, one of the presidential contenders, remember, there was a legislative election and there was also primary for the different coalitions to elect the head of that coalition that will run for president in May. And so one of them mentioned that some of the votes that he knows his supporters cast weren't counted. And that led into an inquiry by the electoral observers, specifically a group called the MOE, which is the Electoral Observation Mission here in Colombia. And what they found was hundreds of thousands of errors and irregularities inside the different voting tablets. And so that prompted this big discussion, this big debate out of what's happening, which led to just yesterday where President Duque suggested that the Electoral Commission in Colombia completely recount the votes. That doesn't mean they're going to redo the election. Election is what it stands. The people voted on last week for who they voted for, but they're going to count the votes one by one. Here in Colombia, there isn't a machine that counts the votes. It's people that count the votes. So they're going to have to do that. So they won't know the results for probably about a week or more. In fact, tomorrow on Tuesday, the MOE, which is the Electoral Observation Mission, is supposed to present a roadmap to talk about how this process is going to take place. They're going to call it the electoral guarantees table. But what's really odd here, John, is that you expect an element of human error in any kind of election, especially if it's people that are counting the votes. But you expect those errors to be along the margins of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 votes, not 400,000 or more. And that's the numbers that we're talking about. I mean, these can radically change the outcomes of what we saw. And remember, this election, in terms of the Senate, the Colombian Senate, was very close. You know, Pacto Histórico, which is the leftist coalition, has 16 seats in the Senate as it currently stands, while the Conservative Party has 16 seats in the Senate. And if you break up if you make up the coalitions, you begin to wonder who has the majority in the Senate. And that means a whole lot in terms of policy making here in Colombia. So this is an important development. and we're hoping that they're going to be able to resolve this quickly. But the what I'm concerned of, what I think is the most concerning part of this, is we're now beginning to get in that conversation where people don't trust the process. And that could lead us to the presidential elections in May, which will probably be a close election. And people may doubt the results of that election, which overall hurts the democratic process.
Ernesto, because Brazil has the other large election this year for the presidency in the fall, this would suggest that there's a pattern forming here of recount in order to either confirm or deny allegations. I note the allegations in Colombia, former President Alvaro Uribe called the results unacceptable. And the conservative former president Andres Pastrana suggested that the opposition won the election through fraud. What is the expectation in Brazil about an election being rigged or fair or in some fashion? Have those allegations started? I'm unaware of them. Lula da Silva is doing very well in the polls. What is your worry about Brazil going through what I promise you is a wrenching process, because in the United States it continues?
Yes, John, there was a huge discussion in Brazil over the last couple of years regarding election processes. This is clearly a crucial issue for democracies. People have to trust their election process if they are to trust their democratic institutions. I think this is very clear. And what happened in Brazil is that many, many people, including President Bolsonaro, were kind of skeptical about the current process, which is 100% electronic voting and electronic processing. And this has created lots of doubts in people's minds, whether this can be hacked, whether this can be distorted. And last year, there was a popular campaign for a new legislation requiring a double process of voting with electronic, but also some sort of printed vote in order to facilitate recount. Because today, actually, there's no recounting possible. The recount will give the same result as the initial count because everything is electronic. So whatever the system says was the first result, it would say it's the result after any sort of recount. But the Supreme Court and the Electoral Court in Brazil, they didn't accept any sort of questioning of the current process. They have banned from and canceled from social media platforms people who would question the current process, the electronic voting. The one state legislator lost his mandate, was ousted because he dared question the current process. So basically the discussion was shut up by force, by force of the Supreme Court. So let's see, whatever the result is, many people may doubt the result. This can create a huge problem because there's no recounting possible, actually. And let's see. Brazil is one of the only three countries in the world who uses this purely electronic voting system, along with, if I'm not mistaken, Bhutan and Bangladesh. So, this is sold to the Brazilian people as the most modern and developed way of voting. And, well, let's see.
What I want to understand this because I'm unfamiliar with a system that gives the same answer each time. Once the results are printed on the first or second night, that's the last we'll see of those of any questioning of those results. Is that the assumption, Ernesto?
Yes, because you cannot recount votes vote by vote. You can only check again the results that have been basically provided by each voting machine. And if the machines give the same result, I mean, there's no way you really to check if the votes were there or the votes were not there.
Boy, does that sound dangerous.
It is.
Joseph, I remember Peru. Didn't that go on for weeks? Castillo in the lead, but waiting for the votes from the diaspora. And so what we're doing is we're watching state by state people learning to doubt the results.
Yes.
No, that's right, John. And in Peru went on for more than a month. Remember that the the final tally that separated now President Pedro Castillo from then contender Keiko Fujimori was just 40,000 votes. So it was a very small margin. And there were credible claims of fraud in that election. The problem is, how do you go through the process to verify those accusations? And that's the hard part, because what we're learning in all kinds of elections throughout the world, and particularly in the Western Hemisphere, is it's not just about defending the vote or defending the results of the vote. It's also about establishing a narrative. And this is the hard part, because if you can't establish a narrative that's legitimate, that about any kind of irregularities or substantiate any accusation of fraud in a very short amount of time, just the general public opinion won't wait for months to figure that out, and they'll want to know the results now. So that's the challenge I think Colombia is heading into, because the conversation about election fraud has already begun. Regardless of whether there was fraud that took place in last week's legislative election or not, and I hope Colombia is going to be able to figure this out in relatively short order, but it, in some ways the seeds of doubt have already been planted in the public conscience, which is actually why I think it was very irresponsible by Senator Petro, who was the first person to claim fraud after the elections last week. So I think he needed to do that in a much more tempered way, because what he did is basically opened up Pandora's box for everyone to accuse everybody else of fraud, and in the process, just delegitimizing the entire democratic process.
Why would the man who leads well in the polls and did very well in the primary vote last week accuse anyone of fraud? How does that help him, Joseph?
Yeah, it surprised me. I said, you know, he did well. His party, his coalition did well. He said that he was missing 30,000 or 40,000 votes. And, you know, I guess he just wanted to have accountability on that. I don't know his motives, to be honest with you. They don't make a whole lot of sense to me, other than if his purpose was to actually cast doubt into the system, that, you know, then that would make sense. But I don't know exactly what he's thinking. I mean, he did well in the election. He had 4 million votes. His coalition got 16 seats in the Colombian Senate. So he was sitting pretty. I don't know why he opened up this conversation, but he did. And now we're here.
We're going to turn to an election that was not challenged and that is accepted. The people of Chile have a new president. When we come back, his remarks are suggestive that he's extremely well educated about how Chile has been both abused and ignored over the years by other powers. His name is Gabriel Boric. I'm with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araujo, former foreign minister of the state of Brazil. This is the New World Report, CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.